they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Lady V, coming to you this Sunday evening. Yes, I know it's been a long, long time, you know, since I've been on. I know I had a show scheduled a couple of weeks ago, but I've been so busy, so I had to cancel that show. But tonight I wanted to get on because there was a lot of things that I've been seeing and reading in the news that I've kind of wanted to talk about, you know, prior. But tonight I thought it would be a good while we relax, listen to some, you know, some new school, old school. And of course, y'all know I got the best in the independent artist spotlight. Y'all know how I do it here. Joining me tonight as my special guest host, y'all know who he is. He's been on the show before. Slim the Hustler out of Mississippi. He's going to be insight, you know, from his point of view. And I will say, any of you that have had the opportunity to visit his page, you know, I'm often intrigued by the things that he posts because he's a very, very prolific deep thinker. And so that's why I invited him on the show with me tonight with this particular topic. So if you're listening and you want to tune in with your girl and Slim the Hustler, please call in at 914-205-5780. If you want to join the conversation, listen. And if I happen to pick up your number, you don't have to say anything. If I just say hello, caller, once or twice, then I'll just go on to the next caller. But otherwise, you can click the link to listen to the show. But once again, thank you all for tuning in tonight with your girl, Lady V, on the One Lady V Radio Network. And we will be right back.
You're the one night. You are the prototype. We'll tiptoe to the sun and do things I know you like.
That's what's up. Y'all know. bit of old school music, you know, a little bit of feel good music, you know, during this time. I know it's a little bit stressful for some people, so y'all know I had to put in a little mark. That's one of my all-time favorite legends to listen to. And, of course, Outkast, Andre 3000. Shout out to Andre 3000. Y'all know I had the opportunity of working with him on American Crime in 2015. An amazing, amazing artist. I truly, truly love him. But like I said before, tonight, excuse me, I want to talk about a few things that, that you know, we've all been hearing about. You know, I see a lot of people, you know, speaking on Black Lives Matter, you know, All Lives Matter. But, excuse me, you guys have to excuse me. But it's just so much, you know what I mean? And, you know, I know everybody's trying to, you know, just figure out, just understand why. Why has there still been so much African Americans? Why has there been so much injustice? Why are things so different for us? And so, you know, school, jobs, you know, different things like that. Why are the rules different for us? And why are the most disrespected individuals, in my opinion, than most? I'm not saying other people don't get disrespected, but why are we treated with such disregard as savages and things like that? And is it a narrative that we can change? That we can change, you know, because many of you have always heard me say that oftentimes we can teach people how to treat us. We're doing. Or what is it? Or is it just a, what I call a systematic disease that is just not healing, that is just, you know, getting worse and worse like a cancer as time proceeds and goes on? You know, what is it? So tonight I brought on an individual who, as I said at the top of the hour, he's a very prolific writer, thinker. I read a lot of his posts, and I know some people may not understand what he's writing, but he writes a lot of things that are a part of history if you just search and read them. And this young man is also an artist. His name is Slim the Hustler. You guys have probably heard of him. He has been on this network. He has a network channel here. But I brought him on tonight because I thought he would be someone that I could really, you know, engage with in this conversation. So as join the conversation, give your opinions about it, please make sure you call in at 914-205-5780. And I am going to bring our special guest.
Hey, how you doing, Lady B? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Thank you so much, ma'am, for coming on with me tonight. Like I said, this is a topic that's going to take a very strong, you know, minded person to speak their truth and what they feel without being afraid to express that. So that's why I asked you to come on. So I do see you a lot of times as you post a lot of things that some people may not really understand, and a lot of it is really knowledge that we all should have been taught or we should know. So my question to you, like I said tonight, you know, we're going to talk about this whole thing. Why do you think things still are the way that they are, which in the way that people of color, black people, African Americans are being treated with such injustice and disrespect? Why do you still think that is something that
I'm
we
glad,
are continuously dealing with?
I'm glad you asked that. Can you hear me? Can
yes.
you hear me still?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. I mean, I feel like because first of all, I feel like as people of color, we bandwagoners. So first of all, we do what we think we should do instead of, you know, what we should do. So therefore, we just jump onto something. Even with the Black Lives Matter thing, if you dig deep into it, it's not really, I love it, but it's not really actually helping because it's still not our narrative. It's still someone
right.
controlling the narrative, and they jumped ahead of it. If you look, follow the money, see who sponsored it. So it's still not colored people speaking about for themselves. It's a puppet master game still. So I think we're still in the same situation because we've been divided. Anytime you can let money, fame, anything like that get you to push an issue that you know is not right, then how can we win? It's honestly, it's taken away from the whole objective of things, and it's becoming too political, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's painting a narrative to me that black folks are tired, aggressive, and they're ready to take over by all means. That's not the case, because I don't know a black home that you can go into that teaches racism. So with that being said, if we used to rule the world, now let me get into something. If we used to rule the world and we did a great job at it, okay, why can't we share the world? I feel like if colored people were to take over right now, they would not oppress the Caucasian population. I don't feel like they would, because I don't know a black racist family, honestly. I really don't. I never experienced that to the point where I don't like this because of what's being done to them. But in their heart, I don't know no person like that. So I feel like in order for us to change as a society, we have to come together and stop being, and they're not going to take us serious, because anytime, think about it, if I can separate you by this or that, how can I take you serious? And
right.
First thing they do is they dictate the narrative to, you have some people out here who really mean Black Lives Matter. Then you have some people out here who they can put as the front person and create a scenario to kind of soften us up to give us what we want. They knew that what's been happening in the media was going to cause an uprise. They jumped ahead. They created the problem and the solution. So we have to start thinking that nothing is going to be easy, because we're being tricked, deceived, lied to about everything from the Bible to where we come from to, you know, so it creates separation, because it creates a platform that one is better than the other. So I honestly feel like nothing will change. It's making you satisfied, and it's still pushing the agenda to get you to go out there. It's taking the light off of this campaign. If we honestly want to change something, you know what we got to do? Because votes are being tampered with so much, we have to go to the voting polls, and we have to count out. We have to make sure. Look, I know y'all lied about the votes, because look, I brought 1 million people right here to vote myself. So we have to make sure that we're there, and once we're able, once we can dictate our votes, then we can put. And it's not about color again. We can put the right people in office, because politicians are spending most of their time paying out favors. So how can change come when they got to pay favors to the people who financially put them in office, you know? So we got to change that narrative. And it starts with the local government. You can't change nothing on the executive level if you can't do it on a local level. That's where it starts at. We can't go to the White House and try to make change if we can't change our own neighborhood. We have to lead by example. And that's why I think we have to start at. We have to start small.
Right. And you know what? I do want to say, you when you said that you can't think of any black family that teaches racism. And I can honestly say, neither can I. And for me, I can say that because, you know, I come from a very diverse family. I grew up predominantly around Caucasian people. Not to say that all of them are raised that way, but have to agree with you. We're not taught to discriminate or to be racist, you know, towards. We're just not. That's not something that we're taught. And, you know, as you said before, we have to come together. And coming together to me means that, like you said, we can't look for someone to treat us a certain way if we are treating ourselves or each other or our community. Which means we can't treat our community with such dismay that we, you know, sabotage it, you know, or different things. We can't do that. Again, we have to teach people how to treat us. And if we're treating each other as savages, then how are we to expect us, you know, the way that we want to be treated? You know, at the end of the day, no, it's not right that it's happening, but it's still happening. But we're as a people. And for me, it has to start with us. Because if we stand strong together, no one or nothing can come in and divide that. But as long as the division, like you said, then you'll always have people infiltrate or sabotage or brainwash because there's a weak link in the chain.
They're going to control the narrative most definitely, and that's why I want to say this. And I'm glad that because what you just said brought me to this point. And like you have to look at it like this: no change has come from, no disrespect to Dr. King, but no change has come from marching. No changes. We have never made change in this world. You know why change has came? Change has came because the seeds of the people who want to oppress, they're growing up and they're seeing that, like, hey, mom, I know you told me I was supposed to deal with black people, but hey, they're not so bad. So only reason change is coming about is because the kids are forcing it. We as black people, we're not making change. The change is coming because the people who run the world, their kids are not racist. They can't make them racist. So they're doing it to satisfy. The kids love black music. So, hey, you got to ease up. You got to cut some laws. You got to cut some slacks because, hey, your daughter like or your son like this type of music. So
right.
You got to satisfy your kid. It's not because we're making change because, again, we're too busy to worry about black when united we stand, divided we fall means all brown skin.
Right.
History is on repeating itself. Look at the Irish.
Right.
Look at the from the blacks to whatever. Every race that has came here that's trying to become a citizen has went through. Look what the Mexicans. It's nothing that what the Mexicans are going through. It's the same thing that the blacks went through. The Irish went through. The Indian. You know, it's deep and it's a process of controlling. Okay, go back to the old days. When they took over, what did they do? They controlled the narrative. They wrote the history. Who has the power to write the history? You know,
right.
So when the Persian Empire had everything for 200 years, the Persian Empire ran free until Alexander the Great came. When he came,
right. He
changed the narrative of the story. You know, and nothing changed without war. And I hate to say because we're programmed that violence and war. Even the government uses war to make change.
To make change.
Talk of peace and marching does not get you nowhere. And I hate to say it, but if we won't change like we said, it's going to come with bloodshed because nobody wants to keep on losing. But talk is not fearful. You can't scare nobody with talk. We didn't came too far as a society we're too violent as a society to let
mm-hmm.
talk scare something. And I hate to say that because that ain't what we should be. We should be able to talk because we are humane. But the facts are that we're not looked upon as equal people. So our talk means nothing, even though the world is paved off our back. We are the great minds. And I'm not taking nothing from nobody because you have the Chinese run the world technology-wise because they choose to, because as color folks, we've been told that we're not this and we're not that. So it's called conditioning behavior. Behavior conditioning in psychology. It's like if I teach you, if you touch this, it's going to hurt. Sooner or later, you're going to stop doing it. So as a society, we've been conditioned not to achieve. We have been conditioned to be workers. We have been conditioned not to own. We have been conditioned not to dream because we labor so much we don't have time to actually sit down and come up with a plan to how to better our lives because it's
work,
kids, you know. So,
and I want to say something when you say condition. Do you feel like that conditioning came from during the time our ancestors? Do you feel that still runs through? I don't know how to say it, but it just passed down. When we were taught where we couldn't have this, or we were conditioned to think that we couldn't do that, or conditioned that if we do this, this is going to happen. Do you think that conditioning came from so far behind, in the past, that it still is within?
We have been reconditioned every so often. Okay, every time they see an uprise, they recondition you to fit the scenario. We are being reconditioned right now through Hollywood. Right now, Hollywood in the 70s, it was a change. Hollywood made the woman turn into a Jezebel type spirit. Look, that's why it broke up the home. They knew if I break up the home, I break up the stability. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the woman has a Jezebel type spirit now. Like, and I hate to say it, but the movies like The Mac, Superfly. If you look at the movies, Superfly was made by the son, and the daddy made the movie before that.
Right.
And they were gatekeepers in Hollywood to condition the black folk. And through that, as black women, they learned to use what they got to get what they want. And that's
right.
Their motto now.
But
it's not no more about respect. So
right.
The TV is programming them.
And when condition, I mean, cut you off, but you said something that's going to take me back. When you say condition, because even during times when we were captive, you know, the husbands were not even allowed to live with their wives and their children. They were on different plantations. They were separated. They were allowed to marry, but they weren't allowed to cohabitate together. You know, they were often sold off, you know, separated from their families, and some never even seen them again. So, again, this is something, to me, in my opinion, that's still, you know, coming through even today. You know, so again, how do we change that? How do we as a culture stand and say, hey, this is the way it has to be? In order for our culture to be stronger, we have to build stronger families, you know, which means we need both in the home, you know what I'm saying, or both involved. We can't allow people to separate us.
It's, you know, how do we change it?
Yes.
We change it through. Honestly, and most people are not going to say this. I mean, they're not going to understand this. That's why we're losing. We change it through spirituality. We cannot win a physical war. We don't have an army. We don't have this. We don't have that. We have pieces of everything, but it's spiritual. Right now, we're being controlled spiritually. You understand what I'm saying? So as people, until they are able to raise their vibration and their consciousness to actually see what is going on. Like I say, it's the left and the right. But that means nothing, because together there comes another, and that's in between, which is wisdom. Once you understand the left and the right, then the truth shall reveal itself, and that's the middle. That's why you have two pillars. Every time it's two pillars, like I was saying with the Tupac thing, and I break it down to an analogy. You know what I'm saying? The sun rises on the west, right? And it and it goes to the east. Okay, Tupac was the first to make it. Biggie was the last to die. The two pillars, they represent something. They represent duality. So therefore they characterize them to the point where can't nobody get bigger than Tupac and Biggie. And if you say something bad about them, your career is over with. And you could be better than them. But the thing is, they are the gatekeepers to that, because when the music came in, they realized that, okay, Tupac they can touch people, so let me control the narrative. So you have to understand, wisdom is, like I always say, it's three meanings to everything you have. So in between is the wisdom. So once you can understand both sides of a story, then you really have understanding, and that's what we're not doing. We're looking at what we see on TV, and it's making us inferior. I mean, it's making us frustrated. So therefore, we're not actually thinking. We're playing checkers, and we're not playing chess. You know. So
absolutely,
we're thinking out of emotions instead of strategically thinking what's actually going to work. And you have to understand, we live in a world of laws, so we have to play within the system. So therefore, that's why I say we're not going to win unless spiritually we can connect with ourselves and realize and see. Remove that veil, you know what I'm saying, and actually see what's going on. But we can't, because, and I hate to say this, but even my grandmother, to the older people, they think the news is so true. So whatever the news says, that's what they're going by. So it controls their emotions, their beliefs, and everything. You have to formulate your own opinion. You have to seek the knowledge, and some of us don't want to know. We're content.
Right. And that's what we're going to come back and talk about that part, because what I do want to talk about is, you know, like you just said it, it's a segue into my next segment, the knowledge, because in my opinion, in our school systems, we're not even being taught our history. We get he died and that's it. There's no more, there's no in between how it started, who was the first. It's none of that. You know what I'm saying?
They have removed Black history from the school because they say it creates prejudice. But
right.
You would tell us the history of a person that does not represent my ethnicity, my race, does not, you know, you would tell me about that person. So I'm forced to learn about people that have no meaning to me. So therefore you cut off from your connection.
Right, and we're forced to learn about people who enslaved us, people who brought us here, and we're supposed to, idolize them. There were these great American leaders, the quote-unquote founders, but yet and still you're leaving out what they actually did to our people in order for us to understand, you know. But like I said, we're gonna talk a little bit more about that when we come back to you guys about... Go ahead.
I was going to say now, if you just look at it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you just look at it, out of all the presidents we had, 80% of them owned slaves until you couldn't own slaves no more. They don't tell you that. 80% of our presidents were slave owners. So what do that tell you about America? How free is America actually? The Constitution was actually made so the lower half, because they looked at it like this when they wrote the Constitution. If the lower half come together, if I don't separate them, they can come together and take all the goods from the top half. So they made it to divide the lower half so they couldn't come together to do that because they knew it was more on that side than it was on the other side. It was done like that from our founding fathers. They knew was going on.
Right. Well, hold on to that thought, Slim. We're going to come back. You know, I always give my independent artists a spotlight. So we're going to take a small break, you guys. I'm going to leave you off with you guys with Frost G. And y'all know what the song is, Touch Me, Tease Me. y'all know what it is. Y'all know what it is. It's your girl, Lady V, tonight on this Sunday evening. Yes, it is. It's your girl, Lady V, on the One Radio Network. And tonight I'm being joined by my co-host, Slim the Hustler. And we're just kind of tossing around some things. You know, how can we change the narrative with so much that's going on? And it's not that it's new. It's been a part of our past. And right now it's a part of our future. But the question is, how long would it still be a part of us? But y'all know I had to put that song in there. That's independent artist Frost G. Yeah, y'all know what it is. Y'all know that's my artist. That's really teased me. Make sure y'all follow him on Instagram, Frost G. Y'all know what it is. But anyways, I do want to thank everybody for joining in. I have to give a shout out to my people overseas, Michael Grant, Big Body P, on radio over in the UK. I've been on his radio show a couple of times. He allowed me to co-host with him when he interviewed one of my favorite artists from the East Coast, Smith & Wesson. Much love. Shout out to you over there. Shout out to all my people who listen over in the Netherlands, the UK, Spain, and, of course, Hawaii and the U.S. of A. Y'all know I had to do that. And shout out to Big Red, OG Big Red from Swisher House. That's the DJ over there. You know, I'm so glad that he's around. He looks great. You know, shout out to him over there. Shout out to my family over here at Esquire Time Peace Photos, Fashi, and also shout out to Pablo Sasuke, a.k.a. I think he changed his name, Taliban Sauce. That's what he changed his name to. So shout out to him over there. And I also want to make sure I shout out, you know, OG Mac Drama. This month has been a very, 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 very busy month. I got the opportunity about a month ago. I went to OG Mac Drama to be an A&R over at 1017 Brick Squad Records. While during my interview with himself and the COO, they kind of actually sprung on me, you know, hey, why don't you come aboard to be the president? And of course, you know, Lady B was super, super stoked about it and itunity. But, you know, I kind of did something I always tell people to do, you know, make sure you think about things, you know, and so much from the young lady, the COO. She's very, very smart, been in the business a long time. Mac Drama has been a friend and a mentor to me for a very, very long time. And it was an opportunity that I didn't see coming and thus far has opened up other doors for me. But because of the type of businesswoman I didn't think it would be fair to them that I couldn't give 100% because I have so much going on. You guys know I'm a business owner. I own a beauty supply. I have my radio network. I also am still working on this television show I've been on for the past 3 years that I'm still in contract with. So it's just perfect opportunity. Just the timing wasn't right for me. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, OG Mac Drama, and everybody over at 1017 Brick Squad, Mafia Records. I love y'all. You know, like you said before, we are family for life. That doesn't change. But I just wanted to make sure I say thank you to them because, you know, the opportunities that you get, whether small or large, you have to take those responsibilities. I mean, those give you or bestow upon you, and you have to be humble. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so, so grateful because I was telling my artist the other day, I talk about doing so much stuff in this industry, but never had I once said, oh, I want to be a president of a label. So it's something that I probably revisit again, but I do have an opportunity. I would say at another label. I can't say at this moment, but it did open up some doors for me. And it also helped me realize that, you know, there's other things that Lady V is capable of doing besides that's in her periphery. Everybody, you know, never stop challenging yourself. Never say what you can't do. And it was such an honor that they looked at me in that high regard to put me in a position like that. And I just want to say thank you so much. Shout out to head DJ Have Love, DJ King Scratch, Buddha Ali, follow there, Fast Clark at Fast Nation, Mark Cool Pop over in Dallas. Y'all know who they are. Y'all know what it is. So I just had to give those shout-outs real quick. I'll be giving out a few more because I don't like to forget anybody. But once again, you know, tonight we are talking about changing the narrative. Slim and I were talking about, you know, educating ourselves. And like I said before, oftentimes in schools, well, all the time in school, we only get, during Black history, we maybe get maybe 2 pages of our history. But you know, it's still our responsibility as a people to learn as much as you possibly can. All has been changed, rewritten, modified, you know, time after time, year after year, book after book. We still have to educate ourselves. There's a community that can educate us on our past, because I believe the more that you know of who you are or where you came from, the better to navigate, to help your community to strive for better, to be treated in the respect in which you deserve. So always try to educate yourself. Slim, back on the line with us, and we're going to continue this conversation. Slim, are you with us still?
Yeah, I'm still here. How you doing?
Great. I'm good, good. Thank you for still hanging on with me. You know, I had to give my shout-outs in between. But as I was saying before, you know, I some people will always tell me, then, how can we learn about our history if the school's not giving it to us? And I always say, there are people within your neighborhoods. Like, for example, I have a cousin who's 93 years old. 93. Can you imagine the history that she has taught me, that she has shown me? You know, so we can't stop at what the schools allow us to learn about our history, because no one can teach us our history better than we can teach ourselves.
Do you know I learned something today? Okay. Everything is, the number 12 is very important if you just actually look, like, the count. Have you ever heard of the Council of the 12 and all that?
Mm-hmm.
You got the 12 zodiac signs. You got 12 hours in a day. Everything is set up by the number 12. Okay. Even when you go back to the Mount Olympus, you had how many set up there? 12. However it was, everything is set up by the number 12. So if we actually wanted to know, we have to look at the synchronicity of numbers with things. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, me, myself, I have been an organization member my whole life. And something that hit me today was the hidden knowledge in everything. The most important thing to me is we have something that's called the 12 P's, which is the 12 principles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading something today, looking at some things on YouTube, just putting a lot of things together, and the number 12 was important. But in every religion, in every organization, in every gang, whatever, it's gonna be it's knowledge there. But it's on you to get it. Even like the Bible, it's not just verbally what it says. You have to actually
mm-hmm.
get it. You know? So And if you're not getting it from the source that they want you to get it and receiving it how they want you to receive it, then it's illegal. That's why they created the RICO law. You know what I'm saying? Because most gangs and like the KKK and the Black Panthers,
mm-hmm.
the problem and the solution, they were created together. They were funded
mm-hmm.
by the government. Both and I, when I say this, I know there's a lot of people out there, but Huey P. Newton was an agent working for the government. That's actually why they actually assassinated him. Like, even Martin Luther King, once you actually start pushing the message that you want to push, you're not doing what they brought you in for. They ushered it in, you know what I'm saying? So the problem was the KKK. The solution was the Black Panthers. Now, look at the person who took the pictures for the Black Panthers. When you
right.
look at the pictures for the Black Panthers, they're not never being publicized for doing nothing good. Every time you see them, it's a militant Black group with guns. Even though they didn't never shoot them guns and do nothing, they were just protecting themselves. But the picture that was painted to them through the public and propaganda were that they're angry Black people with guns. We got to get rid of them. And that's
mm-hmm.
why they disbanded them. But that was done strategically by the photographer. If you go Google who the photographer was for them, he was a CIA agent. They infiltrated it. So the image that was painted, you know what I'm saying? So we have to know our history. Some people actually thinking that these people did this and did that. No, it's an image that's being spun. A lot of things that have happened in history has not actually happened, but it's being broadcast to you like it's actually happened. So therefore you're associating like you know what's going on, but you actually don't. I mean, I can show you something to make you actually feel like you know what's going on, because you see them with guns and this and that, but they didn't shoot nobody. They never did this or did that. That was just, if you shoot me, I'm protect myself. Basically, that's what we need now, if you look at it. But because that narrative has been burnt, if you try that right now, they are for sure going to gun you down. You know what I'm saying? Because that narrative is black folks are angry. You give them a gun, oh, it ain't safe. But what if I say Caucasians are angry? You give them a gun, it ain't safe. That's a proven fact statistically. You know what I'm saying? Statistically wise, it's a proven fact. But you can say blacks are angry because we're being oppressed and you give us a gun. Like, we have to look at everything, even the taking of the firearm from the house. Why you want to take the firearm from the house? That's only going to hurt the good people, because the people who don't care got a gun anyway. I don't care how many fellas we got guns anyway. So therefore, you're taking the guns from the people who actually need protection. Why? Mm-hmm. So you can go harass them, so you can feel safe when you run in the house because you know there's not no gun up in there. That's what people need to really be aware of. You know what I'm saying? The disbandment of protection, no matter what color you is, because that allows the government to stay protected, and now they can run in your house and tell you what to do.
Right, right. You're right about that, you know. And, you know, like I said, it just goes back to, you know, us as, and I do feel like sometimes the older of us, you know, in this community, you know, because we have the new generation that's coming. You know, your 20-year-olds and younger. I feel like, too, we have a responsibility because, you know, I know you, Slim. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I did have people who, you know, to handle certain things or to teach me about my culture. Like I said, I come from a diverse background where there's Caucasian and African-American families, you know, taught me the everything, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, we have educating, you know, no more is it like when I was growing up, if you did something, you had the older people yank you by your neck and say, hey, what you think you're doing? But we're not taking the responsibility anymore. And it goes back to what I said. If we don't take responsibility for our communities, we allow people to come in and infiltrate and treat. When is that? When are we going to take responsibility? When are we going to say, you know, hey, we're not doing this anymore? You know, a lot of people like to say, you know, if we say Black Lives Matter, then why are we killing each other? Well, that's a whole nother narrative, you know, in itself. A whole nother narrative.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, we as people have to gain control, you know, over our own communities. And I hate to sound like Malcolm X here, but we do have to do that. And that's the time that I came from, you know, where things, because some OG or somebody that's been around or your cousin or something is going to sit you down and school you.
But they are locked up, though. All the OGs are locked up strategically. You understand what I'm saying? Strategically. Like I always say, if I wanted to get rid of something that you know, when I come capture you, I remove all of the elderly people who have the knowledge, and I take the young people. That's why in war they kill all the old people. And they take the young people, that way they can plant that seed in their head. And that's why it's a double standard now, because right now I like the young generation, but I dislike them.
I do too.
I like them.
I feel
like
the same way.
I mean, I dislike them because they don't listen. But that's the best thing about them. You know why? Because you cannot feed them no bull crap. They're going to have to find it out for themselves. So therefore, it's causing change. It's causing change in the wrong way for us. But the people who are able to see this need to utilize it, because the fact is, like you said, you come from this generation, but we didn't have enough leaders who was actually willing to put their lives on the line. We had leaders who were actually, they wanted to step up there, take that platform, and then they became a gatekeeper. That's all it was. They weren't actually willing to die for the cause. And that's why you have to realize that it's going to have to be death. So if you don't want to change, if we won't change, sometimes you have to look at it like, hey, I might have to die for this. And if you don't have that mindset, then therefore you don't actually want change. You want somebody else to make it change, and you want to get the benefits from it. you know.
Right.
So we have to, once we get to that mindset, like, you see how these suicide bombers are? Once we get to that mindset, hey, it is what it is. I ain't moving. You're gonna take me. I'm gonna take you. That becomes scary.
Mm-hmm. Right now,
we conditioned to not want to. People don't want to die. They're scared. But why? If you knew the truth about it, you know, that's a whole other story too. But the thing is, it all goes back to taking over and actually knowing the truth for oneself. That way, if you take away the truth from me, you disable me. You know what I'm saying? You don't allow me to form an opinion for myself because I don't have the facts. I'm forming an opinion based off of the narrative that you're giving me. So it's manipulative. So therefore, you're pushing me in a way. But if I gave you the truth, then my answer would be different. You know what I'm saying? If I say, hand told you, hey, every time you die, you're going to come back. Then people will probably go out there and do some crazy stuff just because they know, hey, I'll come back. You know what I'm saying? Or if that's the scenario. So it's certain things that they don't want to reveal to you because they know the reaction. You can't control it.
Right,
you can't control it because at first it's darkness. Let there be light. It's too many dark people out here, too many brown-skinned people out here. You can't control that if the truth is out. And so I have to control it through manipulation and other things. So
right.
And like I said,
hold on to that thought, Slim, because that's gonna go right into my next segment, and I'm gonna bring somebody else on and go into that. So y'all hold on, sit tight. Make sure if you're out there listening and you want to join in this conversation, make sure you dial into 914-205-5780. Let's talk about a topic that I think just about every podcast, every internet radio is talking about today. And I think the more we talk about it, the more that, you know, it's going to raise, you know, awareness, it's going to bring attention, and then you never know, you know what I'm saying? So, again, y'all know I like to bring in the indie artist, it's I, she's always doing her thing, so y'all sit tight, we'll be right back.
Ordinary. I do this shit like I'm legendary. I'ma stay colder than January. Looking for me, better come and get me. I hop in the forest. I made a ride in the light. I'm thinking about doing. I think about doing anything that I want to. You only get one. I do the dance like a racing. They all better pick up the pace. Bright light shine in the daytime. You might as well pick up your face. Yeah, I wanna rock right now. Yeah, and I can't stop right now. Not rock bass, but I wanna feel bass in my face right now, right now, right now.
Right now, yeah.
get down with me if you're on that fake shit. Cause you in the way, fuck nigga. I wanna rock right now. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I'm hot right now. Not rock bass, but I wanna feel bass right now, right now, right now, right now. Yeah, I'm on top right now. And I can't stop, won't stop right now, right now.
Yeah, 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 y'all know the guy that caught me at the Hood Idols show tour. You know, shout out to Lex Luger. That's the gentleman that puts that show on in Mississippi. I got a chance to see this artist, Miss As I. That's like one of my favorite joints. When she performed, I had to get up because I still like that song. Shout out to you, homegirl. I know you're out there doing your thing. But tonight, like I said, you guys, I got a few people joining me, Slim the Hustler. I do have another artist that is going to come in and join me in this conversation, you know, and I just narrative, you know, Slim and I touch bases on, you know, racism within the black community that we're not, we both agreed that, you know, I don't know any black families that teach racism. I'm not saying that it's not there. We touch bases on educating ourselves that in schools that we're not taught our true history. We're only taught a segment of it, like not even a segment, just a little bit. You know, they don't even speak much about Malcolm X. You know, okay, we had slaves, then there's Martin Luther King, he's assassinated, and then the Kennedys. And that's pretty much how I remember it to be. But in this, a little bit about, you know, how we treat each other on a daily basis. You know, is that an image, and what image is that projecting? Does that have an effect on how the police is treating us, or the narrative within our jobs, you know, within our community? Is that something that is a segue into certain things that we either want or don't want? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, you guys, and I'm going to bring Slim back in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Slim, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, hold on just a second, you guys. I'm going to bring in someone else. So we're going to bring someone else into this conversation. Hello, hello, hello. Frost G, is that you? Frost? Frost? We're going to mute him out if I can. Okay, we're going to mute him out. So as I said, Slim, I've heard from many people that, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to share this with you guys. When I was in college, and I'm an alumni from Jackson State. I remember my freshman year, I got a letter, and it was mailed to me, and it was written very badly, but it was a letter from the Ku Klux Klan. And I remember one segment of the letter saying that you guys don't have to worry about us killing you because you're doing it for us yourselves. I remember that in that letter. And because at that time we had gangs, like the Crips and the Bloods were really amplified. There was a lot going on at the time. So I just, you know, I've been asked that question by even some Caucasian, maybe if you guys didn't do this, you know, people wouldn't treat you that way. And to me, that's a horrible thing to say. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking to myself, again, if we have such disregard and disrespect for ourselves, you know, it allows people to mistreat us. Okay, Slim?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here with you.
I said, what do you think about that? Do you think that is a situation within our community we do need to change?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, like you said, you look at my post. Look at what I said about Tupac. Look how Pac came in. Pac came in. Brenda had a baby. Pac came in talking about the struggle because he had it in him. But then they used that same individual to go to the East Coast and attack conscious rap. He attacked De La Soul. He attacked mm-hmm. the Fugees. He attacked Nas. I mean, Jay-Z, KRS-One, anybody that was talking about something very conscious, he attacked them. So he went from, like, the Tupacalypse album was like a, he was a revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
But look how they used him to assassinate the whole concept of what hip-hop was, our platform. We used mm-hmm. it to upgrade the humans. That's what mm-hmm. we used it for, to upgrade ourselves, because with nobody grasping our terminology. So they seen
right.
how the people gravitated to it. So they used him. I mean, now if you beefing with him, how can you actually spend your time making the type of music? Music is already hard to get people to listen to, but you're putting
right.
concept to it and getting feedback. But you got to beef with Tupac now. The same. So
hold that thought. Cross, you're live, okay?
My bad.
Okay, you're live. Go ahead, Slim.
Yeah, that was the end of conscious rap right there. Like, that was the end of it. From then on, they knew, like I said, even with the movies, they knew that rap was the key, was the bridge. So they made sure not to give deals to nobody who had a message no more. If you're not dancing with skinny jeans, talking about sex, money, and drugs, then you are not getting no deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had to dumb it down.
Right. And you
so
know
we do that to ourselves.
Right. We do. And, you know, being that you just brought up something that I've had this with many people. I love music. I don't care what genre, what race, you know. But do you think the music, you know, because it is so very true, and I will tell this to anybody, our culture is the most talented group of individuals. We are the only race that can influence a universe. Everything we do, from the way we dress to our hair, the way we speak to our music, is
our
universe.
If you're working all day in the cotton field, and there's nothing but black people out there, what is the only thing that can raise your vibration? A chant,
music.
A horn. Music. It gave them the energy to take another step when they couldn't. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, when you say that, though, during that time, they used that to, that's where they got their strength to continue fields and things like that. However, do you feel like because of the way music is being projected today, where we are objectifying women in certain aspects, and women are objectifying themselves, do you think that brings a negative connotation for people to the black woman or the woman of color? But then on the other hand, we're saying we want respect. But however, I know I'm playing devil's advocate here because I know it's commitment. But in entertainment, we have to take responsibility for what we project of ourselves, our community, and upon the next generation.
It doesn't make the next person feel no type of way about us because they already have a formulated opinion. It makes us feel like that's the character that we have to take on. Like I said, with the Jezebel spirit, when the woman from the 80s, from the Foxy Brown, you see how she was jazzy with the afro, but it was sex. It's a seed that's planted, and once that seed grows, once that tree is fully grown, you know, you see what you see now. You see chaos.
Right.
They use that to lure you to prison. If I show you guns, money, and drugs, that's what you're going to in your mind. That's all you're going to want out of life. So you're going to do anything to accomplish it. And we're going to put you in the prison. It's all a brain. That's why they call this the Matrix, because it's all a brainwash. You know what I'm saying? You can choose to see the red pill or the blue pill, or you can choose not to see. And some people are very, very comfortable within this matriotic game. You know what I'm saying? They're comfortable. You know, so it's everything is metaphorically speaking for you taking control of your actions and not letting nobody else dictate anything for you. Therefore, it's what you want to do. Therefore, it's your life. You're not being controlled through a TV programming, a channel. You know what I'm saying? They're telling it to you, but you're crazy to not understand it. Tune in to your local programming.
Right.
To channel that spirit Like, it's right there for you. So you have to, that's why most people can't do number watch Lifetime.
Well, the reason why I was saying what I was saying, because I've spoke about this many, many times. I don't want to, you know, because like I said, I grew up in a very, very diverse family. And there were certain things that I was taught both by my Caucasian side and both by my Black African American side, which my mother is, she is Indian, and she's Black. She is from, and so there were a lot of things that I was taught. However, what's the difference in what?
And being Black and Indian.
You mean, well,
all
Black, Caucasian, and Indian?
All Indians were Black. It depends on if you accepted
right.
the land or not. If you didn't,
right.
you didn't go to the reservation, you became a Negro. You were
right.
a slave now. They renamed
right.
you. All Indians who took the reservation, now you're Indian.
Right.
So what's the difference?
Right.
That's
right.
where the game come in there, right there. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
What I was knowing getting at with the imagery that we paint, because I'm a firm believer that we are a very, very strong race. As we are, to, whether we realize it or not, we are the segue to this universe. Because once again, we influence from what people wear, to the way they speak, to the way they dress, everything. So why not understand that we have to take responsibility for how we are treating each other in the community? So therefore, there won't be any infiltration. You cannot disrespect my brother or my sister over here. Respect my brother or sister over here. You understand what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to, now I get on another subject, when it comes to the Black woman. Because I do this, I spoke to a Black woman a while back, and I was telling her a story about an African woman, and I think Beyonce had bought the story to make a movie. Her name is Sarah Bartman. I don't know if anybody knows that story. It came up briefly a while back when Kim Kardashian did this cover with the glass on her butt. But this was an African woman who was stole, and they toured her all around Europe just to dance in front of people, almost like a stripper. They just wanted to see how big her butt bounced and all this stuff. They did very derogatory things because they thought, you know, because of her butt was this way. But it brings me to this. You know, like I said, we have women that make this, and there's nothing wrong with this music because I like some of it. But, you know, what are we teaching people? Where this lady was ostracized this way, and she later died of an STD because they prostituted this woman. But yet, we glorify Black women doing these things. You know, the very things that this lady did through England, you know what I'm saying? Because she had a huge, huge butt. And if anybody knows her story, her skeleton was in a museum. But she had a small waist and shaking her. I guess what I'm saying is, again, we have the power to strengthen within ourselves if we only respected each other a bit more. Just a bit more. That's it, you know. Now, to each his own on what you do, don't get me wrong. But I think we do have a responsibility to our communities and to ourselves. Is to, we say we are the, how do you say, I don't want to offend anybody, but at the end of the day, this is my show. But we are, you know, we are the gifted, is what I call it. Because everything we do, everything is taken from us, so someone else gets credit. Everything we do, someone wants to emulate it. Everything. So why aren't we in our communities leading by example so no one can infiltrate and come in here and disrespect my brothers and sisters of guns and that? Because you know why? Because we respect each other enough. We don't do this to one another. And you can't. Because there's power in that. You know what I'm saying? There's power in that. There's a lot of power in that.
We don't embody the embodiment of being a king and queen anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's too much. That's too much of a
mm-hmm.
man for a man and too much of a woman for a woman. And we have been told that you're not this and you're not that. And so the respect and the message that we give, like a king took care, he knew one thing, everything he
right.
did dictate the whole kingdom. So
right.
the way he moved, what he said, so he was a person who was protect. We don't look at ourselves like that no more because we didn't have role models. So we don't set examples because we didn't have them. That comes with the, you know, if we slow down and get that understanding, then we realize what we were missing and what we need to give back, what we need to get back to, you know, in order to protect. In order to protect the youth, because right now the kids are they're the ones who are not being taught anything, and they only know what you know, you know. So it's
and you would be amazed that this generation right now, they don't know anything about their culture, nothing. All they know is Martin Luther King, and that's the depth of it. They don't have a clue, like they don't know. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, and I, you know, I've always been a historian. I love history, and I'm always reading things like the Sarah Bartman story. When I watched the movie on YouTube, anybody that's listening, watch that movie. And when I watched it, it made me think about strip clubs, the way they did her. You know, she was just in the middle of the room. They would have private parties, and I thought about that, and I'm like, wow, she went through that, but yet. And I know some women do what they do because they have to make a living. I don't knock anybody for that. I don't. But it's just certain things that I see in with myself as a woman of color. I'm a black woman. There are certain things that I feel like I shall not do and I will not do because I have a young teenage daughter that I want to understand who she is. And in order for her to understand who she is, I have to teach her that in order for her to teach other people how to respect her.
If she want to know who she is, go. I think it's still on YouTube if they haven't took it down. Go watch the Pope pray to the Black Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope in the Vatican. Go. He going to tell you who God is because, like, the woman is the matrix. Is the real. That's why when Neo came in the world, he symbolized coming up out of the pouch that the baby is in. You know, that's why if you watch the Matrix movie, when he wake up, he gasping for air. He's coming into life. You know what I'm saying? And that lit pot symbolizes the woman, because the woman is the only person who can bring forth life. So why they're telling you you're not important? That's why they looked at that black woman like that, because that black woman was God to them, and black is beautiful. And when they find one that they like, they can't deny. Even the slave master was having black women. I mean, so maybe they don't want a black man here because they want the black one. I mean, but you have to look at how important you are. Don't look at what's being. You're still important. Looking at the bad things, but look at what makes you important. So once you know you're important, then you have to upgrade your game. You have to get back up on your high horse and don't settle for less. Men and women, we're kings and queens, and we're out here living like servants and servitude. You know what I'm saying? We're pushing the agenda because they'll give you a little bit more money than they give me. You're willing to sell me out and keep me at a level of low vibration. And if I speak, look at Nick Cannon, don't speak on nothing. I'm going to take everything away from you. I mean, but it's worth it. That's what we got to do. We got to give up everything that they gave us and told them, hey, it means nothing to me because I run the world already. So what you doing, I'm going to collapse it. We are the number one consumers in the world, you know, but the praise of this money, if all these celebrities give it up and be like, look, I ain't playing, I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that. You want to see I can promise you all Caucasian, everything is going to be boring. And Caucasian people have great talent. But the point is, look at the people behind the scene. Everything is rolled on a black man. Look at Kobe. Look at Larry Bird, great, but he ain't Michael. He ain't Kobe. He ain't LeBron.
I understand that.
You got to know your worth, and that's what they have took our worth away from us. We have been beat down so much.
We have to gain control and get that back in the right way, and that's joining together with one another, you know, and strengthening within ourselves, within our communities. We cannot be divided. We cannot, you know, like you said, we cannot pull the other one down because one either has more than the other. You know, we cannot continue to do that. We just
How can one love you when they don't love themselves, you know. So it's an individual journey that we have to take, and that's what we don't want
to
do.
Teach each other how to love ourselves. We do. We have a responsibility to our community as well as ourselves, to our people as well, as just like they did in slave time. No matter how much they were beat and raped or whatever, they always band together to strength within each other so they can pull it up together and get through it somehow. That's what they did. And we have to be able to do the same thing. Sometimes people don't know until someone really shows an interest and say, hey, and that's what it is. A lot of times we have to do that. We have a community that we care, but a lot of times we're so inundated with our own personal selves, we don't look back and see who needs to be uplifted, empowered. We don't do that. We don't.
The lack of compassion. We're so busy worried about self, we don't have time to be the great Samaritan. We don't have time to look at our neighbor and tell them, hey, let's go. That's one thing the army teach you. No soldier left behind. I can be shot, but
right.
You can't walk.
You don't leave
so
them. You don't leave them behind.
So I'm up and carry you. We're not.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right.
We're too busy crying about our own wounds, and when there's somebody behind you who worse than you.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, we're going to take a small pause for the calls, and we will be right back. Y'all know what it is. I still am playing my indie artist. This is Pablo Sauce K, a.k.a. Taliban Sauce. He changed his name, y'all. So y'all sit tight. We'll be right back. And if you still want to join in, 914-205-5780, and we will
damn,
be right
so let
back.
Be down, Zo.
To the bag, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Trying to see by the brick, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
I'm clutching the stick, with me.
Woo.
Trying to see by the lick, with it.
With it.
I'm all about numbers. Show me prices before I shop. I'm all about the digits.
Woo.
Team cup from the coffee, can't fuck with the gang. Don't even mention it, I get it.
Hey.
This bitch wanna fuck, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Four shots of the Henny, I'm in it.
Ooh.
She thinking she stuck with me.
Ooh.
After that, she get cut, scissors.
Hey.
I want the green spinach. He knocked on my hoodie, fucking up the image. Getting revoked, I'm with it. I heard he won't smoke, I'm with it. I keep a clock on me. A nigga won't worry, smoke him like a stoner.
Hey.
I see his bitch on me. I give him one look. I got her pussy soaking.
Woo.
Let a nigga try to game. We ain't even about to play. We gon' turn a hard body to jello.
Bo
Nick, Kitty Mo. We gon' lead the whole scene red. Drippy, drippy like M.O. Yellow diamonds got me looking like Simpson. Blue check like I'm Crippin'.
Hey.
I'm trying to distance myself, but I'm with it. Don't make me revisit.
Woo.
Glock sit by the kidney. Poured up the drink, the sipping got me dizzy. This Glock got me busy.
Hey.
I'm trying to hit a lick with it.
Woo.
Get to the bag, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Trying to see by the brick, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
I'm clutching the stick with me.
With
trying
it.
To see by the lick with it. I'm all about numbers. Show me prices before I shop. I'm all about the digits.
Hey.
Ain't come from the coffee, can't fuck with the gang. Don't even mention it, I get it.
Hey.
This bitch wanna fuck, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Four shots of the Henny, I'm in it.
Woo.
She thinking she stuck with me.
Mm.
After that, she get cut, scissors. I want the green spinach. He knocked on my hoodie, fucking up the image.
Hey.
Getting revoked, I'm with it.
Hey.
I heard he won't smoke, I'm with it.
Woo.
We talk about money, I'm with it.
With it.
Distribute a brick, I'm with that too. I heard he won't smoke.
Hey.
We don't ask questions, we gon' shoot. That's where you running your lips, my nigga about action geeking, they be fiending.
Hey.
We ain't without them games, we gon' clap a nigga up, cause he act like he reaching.
Woo.
I go chillin' with his bitch, you know I done nailed it.
Nailed her.
I go hit 2, 3, 4 more times, now she wanna marry me.
Hey.
I don't do no love.
No.
I'm about chicken.
Hey.
If we revolve around that, bitch, you know I'm with it.
Woo.
Get to the bag, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Trying to see by the brick, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
I'm clutching the stick with me.
With
trying
me.
To see by the lick with it. I'm all about numbers. Show me prices before I shop. I'm all about the digits.
Hey.
Can't come from the coffee, can't fuck with the gang. Don't even mention it, I get it.
Woo.
This bitch wanna fuck, I'm with it.
I'm with it.
Four shots of the Henny, I'm in it. She thinking she stuck with me.
Hey.
After that, she get cut, scissors. I want the green spinach. He knocked on my hoodie, fucking up the image.
Woo.
Getting revoked, I'm with it. I heard he won't smoke, I'm with it.
Woo.
That's what's up, that's what's up. That's Pablo Sauce, K-A-K-A Taliban Sauce. That's with it. That's out on Empire. Yes, he got a single deal from Empire for that track. So congrats to you, Sauce K, Taliban Sauce. on your deal. We're still working. Once again, you guys, I do want to thank y'all for joining in and tuning in to the show tonight. I'm going to do a little bit more shows like this and talk about these things, you know, just to get some of this out there, because usually I always tell people I don't get involved with the, you know, government politics and things like that. But I feel like, you know, I owe that to my community to be able to speak in platforms so people can voice their opinions. And once again, I do want to say that my opinions are my opinions. They do not reflect anyone that listens or anybody that's on the show's opinions. But I do want to thank Slim the Hustler for tuning in and joining in. But like I said, you guys have to follow him because he writes a lot of interesting things. I mean, I could be on here for hours with some of the things that he's written that I definitely have heard of and have knowledge of. But he's such a young man to be, you know, to know so much. And that tells me he's like me. I love to teach. I love to learn. I read quite a bit. I don't just read about my history. I read about all history, you know, everything. And that's, you know, what they say, knowledge is power. It is power, you know. So even if I'm not taught something, that doesn't mean that I stop learning. I have responsibility to myself, my community, and to my daughter to empower myself with as much knowledge as I can possibly. If I don't know, I'm always going to reach out, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, like I said, we're going to talk about this more and more, but I will say, you know, we do have to start coming together, you know, and reaching back to empower one another, encourage one another. You know, I do want the violence to stop within our communities, and it saddens me every day, you know, to turn the news on, you know, to see all the things that are happening to, you know, people of color with the police and seeing that there's no justice and people trying to justify what has happened to them. There's no justifying, you know, killing anyone who is unarmed, who is posing no threat to you other than the fact that they stand before. So it just saddens me that even in 2020, you know, we still are being, you know, these things, you know, and as Slim said, it's just history repeating itself. I know some stories my mother told me, stories, and I'm looking at what I'm seeing on the news, and it's almost like a reflection in the mirror. You know, it's like I wasn't there in the past, but I'm seeing it right now, but it sure does look a little bit, just a tad bit of what, you know, my parents went through. So again, you know, we have to take responsibility within our communities. I think Malcolm said it, you know, we have to band together, patrol our own communities, you know, have our own, we have to do this, you know, because, you know, I just pray. It was disheartening, just like it was for a lot of people, black and white, to hear, you know, the ruling in, case, you know, it was very, very disheartening because that could have been me, it could have been my cousins or my aunt, it could have been innocent. She was laying in her bed. If you can't feel safe anyplace else in other than your home, where can you be safe, you know? So I all have to band together. I know we don't always all get along, but at the end of the day, I'm one of those people, like within my family, no matter how much I don't get along, cannot infiltrate my family. You will not be able to take down one of my family members because we're going to band together. And that's what it should be like in our community. But I do want to send prayers out to, you know, who has lost someone due to police injustice, brutality. You know, I pray every day that it changes. Sometimes I'm driving and I just pray, you know, that this ends at some time. When does it ever end? Because it's an ongoing cycle, you know, and I have a 15-year-old daughter that's going to be an adult one day. And I pray that when she's my age, that this will be truly a part of just history and that she can't believe that that actually happened, you know, because it won't be happening then. But I pray that it changes, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, we are all one human race. There's, in my eyes, there is no as far as color. When I see people,
I see people. I don't see color. I was raised in a diverse family. I grew up around mostly Caucasian people until I went to a black college, and I chose to do that because I didn't know enough about my own history or even myself as a black woman. So that's why I went to a HBCU. And if anybody doesn't know what that means, look it up. But, you know, and I know we got this election that's coming up. Everybody needs to get out and vote. Everyone has to vote. Everyone has to vote. You know, it's so imperative. Get out and vote. And like Slim said, I love this generation because I see more young people voting and getting out there than I've ever seen. So I see again, we have to get out there and vote, you know. And I do have to say this one thing. I am so to see one of my Sarahs that could actually be the VP. I had to put that out there for my sisters, aka y'all know what it is. I'm so happy to see her, you know, up there, not just because she's my Sarah, because she is a woman of color. But we do have to get out there and vote. We have to vote. People, please vote. You cannot argue about things being the way that they are if you are not a part of the change. And being part of the change is stepping foot out and vote. You have to vote. I'm going to repeat it again, people. We have to vote. Like Sam said, if we have to ban to go vote, can't nobody say we didn't do it because we were there. So we have to do that. So do you have any last words?
No, I'm listening to you.
I'm sorry, it was long-winded, but I had to get that in there. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I definitely want to continue this conversation into some other things. But you know, and you guys, anybody out there that's lost anybody to COVID, you know, my condolences to you. This thing is really real because I'm going to share with you guys something that I didn't tell very many people when I came back from Atlanta on February the 28th. I had COVID-19. So it's definitely real. So please, please do what you have to do. You know, I want to go take my artists to different shows, but I've been so afraid to do so. But I know here recently I got an agent that we're going back into production on the television show. So, you know, we have to be very, very careful, very, very vigilant. And please mask up. Please do the things we were raised to always do. Wash your hands. You know, sanitize. Do all those things, whatever you can possibly do. But it's real. And thankfully for me, you know, I'm a pretty healthy person. But even the most healthiest people can contract it. But it's just, you know, everybody's immune system is built up differently. So make sure we do that. Slim, if you got any lasting words, go ahead and let the people know.
I mean, I think we didn't hit everything tonight. Actually, I mean, like you just said on the COVID thing, though, you gotta protect yourself, though. You gotta protect your energy. You gotta, I mean, it's out there, but it's not out there.
Mm-hmm. We just have to be careful. We have to be careful.
Yeah, and like you just said, like we were at the same spot in Atlanta on the same date, and I tell anybody that, you know, I remember coming home. Kobe died that Sunday. I mean, that like following Wednesday or something, that when COVID hit, and I had already said, if you remember that night at the show, I always get sick every time we go to Atlanta though. So I never looked at it like, okay, I got COVID. But I tell people that all the time. I was like, look, from December, because we went so many times from like that September to that February area. I say I didn't caught the COVID in between those times, but it was just like it was a coming cold. So I'm not thinking of the COVID-19. I might get sick, so I wasn't panicking. I passed it. Most people right now, they're panicking once they realize that they're sick.
And
so
I didn't panic, but I knew that's what it was. I knew that's what. 4 days I was in the bed, and the fifth day I got up and I went running because I run 4 days a week. But it did take me 2 weeks. It did take 2 weeks. But I had a cough. It was just like I would cough, and it just wouldn't stop. It just wouldn't stop. You know, my appetite was gone, and I had my stomach was messed up. But I do know
that the fifth day, because I always say when you get sick, if you go run and sweat it out, you'll be good. So that's what I did.
Yeah, that's the old remedy that they tell you to get under some cover and sweat it out, right? And I mean, the hotter you get, you're going to kill it. And they, you know, COVID lives in very, very warm weather, if I'm not mistaken. I think 140 degrees or more Fahrenheit. So therefore, you're going to have to actually, you're going to have to turn up. You're going to have to get under some cover, turn some heat on. You have to become very uncomfortable if you do. So, like you said, protect yourself, put your mask on. Hey, it's time to, it's not going anywhere. So we're going to have to learn to maneuver around it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Phil, for joining in. Hopefully you come back and we're going to continue. Hopefully I can pick your brain on another topic for the show, because I love the stuff that you've been putting up on the pages. I really, really do, because there's another time, but there's one that you put up that really got me thinking, and that was the one with the plays, how they only had men. We have to use that on another show, but I like that. So we're going to have to talk about that. Definitely talk about that. Thank you so much, Slim, for joining me tonight. Thank you guys for listening. Once again, thank you all for tuning in tonight with your girl, Lady V, and Slim the Hustler. Make sure y'all find him on all social media platforms and your music platforms as well. But you guys have to check him out, because he's definitely writing some very prolific things that can be backed up with just a little bit of research. That's all it takes. But once again, make sure y'all tune in for your girl next time on the One Lady V Network.